Welcome back, everybody. We're doing a little bit of a different introduction today.
Are we?
Maybe. Why not? I feel like I always start off with, hey, guys. So that's welcome true. Back or welcome to all of you first timers.
Yeah. Hope everyone's doing well during these times.
So I guess we should say what the name of the podcast is.
Yeah. So we are Flick or Flop.
And you are?
I am Jeremy. And you are?
Alex. Jeremy Kibler.
And yes, Jeremy Kibler. And you are?
Alex Maynard. So now that we have that out of the gate, what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about movies. We have four to talk about today.
We're mixing it up. We're keeping it spicy. And right. In typical Alex fashion, I'm going to throw in a curveball. Yeah. And we are going to announce that we're going to do a special series. I guess it's going to be a series and we're going to talk about series.
Yeah, since we have a little bit more time.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are all kind of like cooped up in your houses. Most of you, if you're deemed non-essential, right. What a beautiful adjective to describe yourself.
We're not important.
But we were chit-chatting a little bit, and we were saying how really the point of a movie is to what? To put yourself into somebody else's shoes, to check out, to check into somebody else.
Into a different world, a little escape.
And you can only do that for 2 hours, really.
Right, right.
And how many hours do you guys have available? I mean, I feel like we all have a whole bunch of time available, especially if you're taking your 40 hours that you would have usually worked. So you're probably going to binge a couple of different series, and we thought that we would be a great resource for you to check out some new ones.
Yes, there's a lot to talk about.
But we're not going to talk about them now.
We are not.
You're going to have to check out episode 12. Tiger King, of course, will be.
We'll talk about that eventually. Yeah. Because we have to. It's on everybody's
radar. It's the new Ted Bundy.
It is.
Anyway, back to movies. What do you have for us?
So back to movies. So first off, we're going to talk about Lazy Susan. It's a little indie movie that you can watch digitally or on
on
demand. It's not on Netflix, but digital or video on demand platforms.
So AKA, if you have a Fire Stick, just go to Kodi, maybe. Exactly. Google that.
Yeah, yeah. This is probably the perfect movie to watch on the couch and feel lazy. It's called Lazy Susan.
Yeah, refresh my memory. We were talking about it a little bit.
So this stars Sean Hayes. You know him. He played Jack McFarlane on TV's Will and Grace and the reboot that just came out recently.
You should know him. And if you don't, maybe you shouldn't listen to the podcast.
Right.
You're not our demographic.
Right.
Just kidding.
Right. But Sean Hayes plays Susan. Yes, he plays a woman. She's unmotivated. She's messy. She's kind of the black sheep of her family. She can't keep a job. She lies about still working at a flower shop. But she doesn't really try looking for a new one either. And she's always late on her rent. She goes to her mom to collect money. She lives in Wisconsin, you know, this small town. And she feels inferior to her younger brother, who's this physician's assistant. And he kind of makes her feel like this freeloading screw up. And she has one friend, and they're kind of part of a ukulele and flute musical duo. And
that's right.
And one day she gets into a fender bender with this guy who owns this Jumpaline Center. He owns it. And
who was eyeing her up?
Right. And so he seems genuinely interested in her, and so she kind of feels like she has this, you know, new reason to like, I don't know, turn her life around, maybe get her groove back, that sort of thing. I want to start off by saying I love Sean Hayes. I think he's this natural comedian. He has so much energy playing Jack McFarlane in Will and Grace. And
he's such a great character.
He is.
Such a great guy.
Yeah. And you believe him as that character, Jack McFarlane, and he's always so funny, so high energy. And he actually got this, he co-wrote this script with two of his co-stars in the movie. So they kind of got this project off the ground. It's low budget, but
it doesn't come across that way that it was low budget, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, you can kind of tell, like, the scope is very small, but it has a low budget charm to it. So why I wanted to start off with saying that is I didn't like this as much as you did.
Not at all.
No.
No. We totally are going to agree to disagree.
Since here. I described the plot, do you kind of want to talk about what you liked about it? What you got out of it?
I mean, I don't know if I necessarily want to say, like, what I loved about it. I think that if we're going to focus on more so, like, the fact that it didn't necessarily live up to its full potential, it had a lot more opportunity. But I think that what is sitting in the back of my mind is we all know Sean as Jack. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit difficult, I think, for most people to kind of, like, look at him playing a different role. Mm-hmm. And it was a little far-fetched. I mean, he's playing Susan, right? So you think that the whole storyline is going to be about this man who turns woman or woman right. who turns man. And it's not that at all. He is playing a legit woman.
Right. Yeah. We should say, like, he is playing a, as the kids say, cisgender. He's a cisgender woman. So a woman that
I don't even understand the terminology. Born a woman.
So he's not a man in drag. He's not a man in drag. He's not a trans woman. Think like John Travolta in Hairspray or Tyler Perry in any Madea movie.
Oh my God. Okay.
He's not Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire. Not that sort of thing. So he is playing a woman. So, I mean, I never bought him as Susan. I always saw him as, or I always saw the character as Sean Hayes with a wig and in a dress.
Right.
And that was kind of a hard hump for me to get over.
So maybe the wardrobe and makeup wasn't the best, or maybe he shouldn't have even played her.
Right. I mean, that's the character, like, very frumpy, very lazy, doesn't care about, you know, how she looks or where her life is going. I don't know. I felt like it was just like a one joke comedy that kept being repeated over and over. Like, oh, Susan's so lazy.
It was kind of repetitive.
She rides her motorized scooter around Kmart. She's
constantly lying about her success or right. her status or where she is in life.
She actually has sex a lot. When she has sex, she just lies there. She doesn't do anything. And then, like, rather than grabbing a plate to dip her French fries in ketchup, she just squirts a packet on her belly button and dips them there. Like, she's that lazy.
She is the epitome of lazy. So I commend them for that. I think that she really was that character.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe that's what I liked about it most, is she really, like, did become this slob, but not a slob. Like, she was, I don't know. We all know this person. Like, we all know this person in life, right? Like, I can think of a couple lazy Susans, and I'm like, oh my God, yes, you nailed it. And I think that what I loved most, if we're going to go there, is I just love the fact that Sean Hayes was able to create this, make this, become this, embody this. That's why I liked it so much, because I root for him. And at the end, like, you know, we all have our, like, rival or arch nemesis, and then they end up coming together. So it was just cheesy. It's all around cheesy. If you're just looking for something light and fun and you want to check out, I don't regret the time that I spent watching it so much.
So you
what else would you have watched? That's what I would challenge you with. What else would you watch?
Oh, I'll get to that, but I have a thought. So you said we all know, like, a lazy Susan type.
Yeah.
Maybe we have been a lazy Susan. But do you want to watch a 90-minute movie about a lazy Susan?
A lazy Susan who gets her act together. I like it.
Yes.
Sorry, spoiler.
No, right. Well, of course there's going to be a character arc, or else, like, why watch? But I don't know. I felt she was unlikable and just not that interesting. And I felt like the comedy kind of...
Well, that's a lazy Susan.
I know that, but why should I care? Like, if... I don't know. I get it on paper, like, but I've seen plenty of movies where there are, like, unlikable characters, but I just didn't feel like Susan was
interesting. We were
kind of
talking about this a little bit, I think, with a different film, and I don't mean to interrupt your train of thought.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would have been better off as a TV show.
Possibly. A little more breathing room, that sort of thing. I just felt like she was selfish and pathetic and passive aggressive, and, like, what does she even want? Like, that is, like, screenwriting 101. Like, what does the protagonist want? And I don't even know what Susan wants. And we should root. We should want, you know, we want to wish Susan the best, root for whatever. But I just, she wasn't endearing to me and she just alienated everyone. We should say it has a pretty good cast. And
does it?
Well, yeah, like, so Margot Martindale, the great Margot Martindale, she's very overqualified for this, but she does get some laughs, like, with Sean Hayes and a dehumidifier. I thought that was kind of amusing.
Which one's that?
She plays the mom.
Oh, okay.
She's mean and crotchety.
Really like, okay, I didn't really like the mom.
I mean, we kind of giggled with that whole little bit with the probably dehumidifier. But, yeah, it was a little chuckle. But
I liked the rival arch nemesis.
Oh, well, I like Alice and Janney. You know, I liked their, like, you know, they were one-upping each other all the time. She's this Kmart employee. And yeah,
which is what's
rival.
So funny, too. I think that the whole it's plot line town. Was just, like, so funny.
Yeah.
I don't like, know. Really, I you're just, making this big old production out of this.
I know. And then, weirdly enough, Matthew Broderick, Susan,
which one was
Sarah,
that?
Sarah Jessica Parker's husband. He only has, like, a walk-on part, but he's in it. He plays the landlord. He has one scene. He maybe has, like,
oh, that's
a couple
a bummer.
Lines. But I just... So...
Okay, so I can see why you're so disappointed, because there was such a great cast, maybe, and well, yeah, they weren't so, utilized to their
you know,
best.
It's this low-budget movie, and has this supporting cast of, like, some name actors, and it just kind of felt like they called in some favors, that sort of thing.
Oh, gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I'm only going to do this one scene for you, because...
Right, right. Like, oh, they had a couple days, and... So I will say there...
Sean Hayes.
I know. So...
You feel for him.
What I did, like, I thought there were a couple cute, warm moments between... Susan and her best friend Corinne, who's played by one of the co-writers.
Oh.
So maybe that's why. I think they're good friends in real life.
And I felt so bad for the friend.
I know. Because Susan, yeah. So this, you...
She's
you
just a letdown.
I know.
Typical lazy Susan.
You said, what were some other movies that I would recommend? Yes. It's been a while since I've seen it, and I don't even know if I would recommend it, but this did remind me of, like, a Napoleon Dynamite.
No, I hated Napoleon Dynamite. I would not even watch it. Stop.
Yeah, I haven't watched in a while, but I'm just saying, like,
can
it reminded me...
Can we compare it to, like, Juno?
Oh, Juno is so much better than this. This also had touches of, now this is going to be, like, over the heads of most people, but uh-huh. It had touches of the filmmaker Todd Solondz. He did movies like Welcome to the Dollhouse, and it's always, like, small town oddballs. That's kind of what it reminded me of.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. I felt like I wasn't sure if I was supposed to have affection for Susan or not. Like, was I supposed to be laughing with her or laughing at her? So, I don't know, it just kind of put me in, like, a weird...
Just this, like, state of, like, what, ambivalence? Like,
yeah.
You don't even know.
I just kind of found, like,
and
if
you're
bizarre.
Kind of like how she feels about life.
Right.
About her.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wanted to root for it, but I just, I don't know, I was kind of frustrated rather than enjoying it.
I didn't even see what grade you gave.
I gave it a C.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm actually surprised that you gave it that...
Hi.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
Guys,
I'm not a total monster. I think
he's becoming much more soft with his ratings. Yeah.
You know, I actually first gave it a C-, and then I was like, you know, wasn't as bad as The Grudge, so I'd give it a C.
Oh my god, definitely not. The Grudge was, I think, that was 2020, right? That
yeah.
is the worst film of the year so far.
So far.
Okay, so you give it a C, I give it a B-.
Oh wow, okay. So, I would give it a... flop, and you would give it a...
I'd give it a flick.
Yeah.
And I would especially give it a flick for these times.
Exactly.
I mean, it all depends. Like, if you were to have me watch this movie probably next year or something, which I will not rewatch it.
You will not remember it.
I don't rewatch movies. Okay, I lied. I will probably rewatch a handful, maybe two handfuls of movies.
Yeah.
But I don't like to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's a flick. Now you're making me think it's a flop.
No, if you liked it, stick with your opinion. It's like it was. You give it a recommendation of like, on a lazy,
you have
lazy
nothing
rainy
else
Sunday.
To do.
There's nothing else to do. You've read all the books.
May as well. Whatever.
You've done all the chores.
You're not binging a series.
Exactly.
Then
you already watched Tiger King. Watch Lazy Susan.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do we have next?
All right.
Next
so
is, oh,
moving on. I watched all of Almost Love.
You watched it two times, didn't you?
I actually did watch it two times because I wasn't sure what I thought of it the first time. And
And it didn't we expire have so yet. Much time in the world.
We have so much time. So I rewatched it.
So this should be a good one for you.
Yeah, right. So the movie's called Almost Love, another indie movie. It is from actor Mike Doyle. He's openly gay, and that, I'm saying that because it does have something to do with the rest of the movie. So Mike Doyle, this is his writing directing feature debut. It's a slice of life revolving around a tight-knit group of, I'd say they're in their 30s, late 30s. They live in New York, and they all have their romantic issues. I'd say the focus is on a gay couple. One half of them is played by Scott Evans, who is Chris Evans' brother. Chris Evans is Captain America. You have the gay couple. Scott Evans plays, and he's like this underappreciated artist. He kind of ghost paints for a successful artist. And he's been in a 5-year relationship with his boyfriend, who's this fashion influencer. And he kind of overshadows Adam a little bit because everybody, whenever they go out, he's always recognized. Mm. And so I think Adam kind of feels underappreciated. Anyway, it also kind of checks in with like some of his other friends, like his best friend played by Kate Walsh. She's been married to her husband for 15 years, and she kind of tells Adam, like, why don't you get married to your boyfriend? Like, it's a partnership. And then they also have some single friends. There's one played by Michelle Boutau, who's a comedian, and she is dating a man who turns out to be homeless. And then there's also this neurotic woman who tutors a 17-year-old, and she kind of has these strange feelings for him. She doesn't know if they're maternal or romantic, and she doesn't kind of know where she ends up with him.
That's why I didn't like it.
So this movie, it's an ensemble piece. So, you know, some characters, some subplots, I think, are given more development than others. You know, I do kind of wish that it centered more on the central gay couple.
I was just going to ask you that, like, what was the main focus?
Right. That is the main issue, I would say, with it, is focus. But, you know, it has some nice performances. It has, like, a nice lived-in feel within the friends. Like, they all feel like real people. They feel like they've been friends for a while. Like, they have a history. You know, it has, like, an easy breezy sense of humor about itself. It's very, like, slice of life. Like, you know, life is very mundane. And I think it has, like, a nice, it's very universal in what it says about, like, not settling. Like, don't settle for less than what you deserve. And, it's kind of rooted in some truth. I just felt like it was underwritten in some places. And it might have worked better as a TV show. This is the one.
Okay. Yeah.
But, it's like a few notches above
being... It's almost like this is a pilot for a series.
Exactly. Like an extended pilot because it's like 90 minutes. But, it's a step above being just like cute and superficial. Like it has, you know, something on its mind, I think. But, I liked it well enough. I liked spending time with these friends.
Mm-hmm.
Of what you saw, what do you...
So I would say that I probably caught most of it. I think one night I was like listening to it because I was
right.
I was computer gaming. Like, what the hell else do we have to do? Exactly. Like, I was playing a computer game. Exactly. Don't make fun of me and don't tell anybody. Secret nerd over here. I don't know. I think it was more so like you were saying, the one who was like seeing the 17-year-old, I was like, I have had friends who, were like in a situation like that, like their teacher and them underage. And it's just, I know the impact that it has. And I just don't think that that should be shown theatrically.
And I felt like it was played more for laughs than for like, it wasn't being a dramatic, portrayal. Right.
I think that they just kind of like brushed that whole thing under the rug.
Yeah.
And that whole thing whenever it is brushed under the rug is a huge deal. So, like, for you to kind of, like, laugh it off like that and downplay it.
Right.
I think that that's where I really lost interest. And honestly, I think that I got, like, kind of, like, mad at it. I'm like,
Yeah, I can,
like, just
I can
not
see
understanding of the
way.
Whole... Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on, like, personal experience and whatever.
Oh, yeah. Just, like, anything. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it could definitely be a great TV series.
Yeah.
I possibly. Didn't like it at all. I would honestly, I would give it like an F. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I don't, as you described it, like very mundane life. It's showing life in a very, gloomy gray way.
It had,
and even Lazy Susan is like that, but like,
right.
Didn't like it.
Yeah. See, I'm a sucker for like a slice of life, New York, bunch of friends, that sort of thing.
That whole like struggling New York lifestyle, I guess.
Right. And I mean, these people weren't like struggling career wise really, more relationship wise, but yeah, I mean, I liked it well enough for a first narrative feature from Mike Doyle. I thought it was solid.
Yeah, like supporting our community, whatever, like LGBTQIA, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Like great.
And coincidentally, the two actors that play the gay couple, they played exes in that Hulu anthology movie, Midnight Kiss, the gay slasher.
Oh, I liked that one.
So okay. I thought that was kind of interesting. That's probably why they had such an ease and like history together.
Oh, they had a good, yeah.
Good chemistry.
Good dynamics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so,
So the cast worked well together.
Yeah,
I think
they
it was
did.
More so the plot.
I think the script either should have been longer or cut some subplots and yeah.
Being that I haven't seen the whole thing visually, and you were describing it, I feel like they had maybe too many subplots.
Right.
Like, they as you said, they should have focused more so on Adam.
Yeah, Adam and his boyfriend, Mark Lynn, yeah.
And maybe, like, two others. Did they have four going on?
Yeah, and the one doesn't even...
There needs to be one big and two littles. Like,
right.
I feel like you can't have three
a
little
story
things
and a
going
B story,
on.
Maybe not A, B, C, D, E. Yeah.
Right. Like, maybe an A through C, but no, not A through D. No.
Yeah, too much. So, overall, I would give this a flick. I mean, especially, you know, staying at home, like, you want
to
watch
what else
something.
What else do you have to do?
Easy breezy.
Okay,
yeah.
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 I would say, like, if you are single and you probably just got out of a relationship and you want to like see like whatever like about relationships and struggles, then watch it.
Yeah.
But it kind of kills me that you gave this a B minus.
I did.
And you gave Lazy Susan a C?
Yeah.
Wow.
I
would say so far, like still watch Lazy Susan instead of this one. Like, I don't know.
Lazy Susan just annoyed me. But
if you're looking for something simple and just focus on one character, Lazy Susan. This one has too much going on.
Okay. All right, so we're going to move on. We're going to move on to another movie that
I'm looking out for my people. And P.S., the Svedka, cucumber, and lime. Great.
It's a great mixture.
Yeah.
So moving on to our third movie, which I've seen visually and orally, and you've only heard the audio to it.
Yeah, these are like audio books for me.
Yes, you should do an audio movie review show.
Well, that's what we're doing.
No, I know, but I know, but I'm saying you don't watch them at all. You just listen to them.
I feel like usually I just watch one and then I catch glimpses of the others.
The others,
yeah. That's my thing. It's like the A through D thing.
So out of all of these, I would say this one you should watch visually because it's the most like beautiful looking film.
The Other Lamb?
The Other Lamb. So this is about a teenager named Sila. All she knows is this cult that she was born into. Her mother died while she was giving birth to her. She's cut off from society. She lives in this remote forest commune in, I think, the Pacific Northwest.
I saw a glimpse of... Okay.
Right. It's her and these other women. They're all guided by their leader, known as the Shepherd, played by Michelle Huseman, I think his name is.
Oh, there's like polygamy going on in here.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
So the women are divided into two groups. There are the wives and the daughters. The wives, I think, are in purple, and the daughters are in blue. And then each night, one of them is chosen to receive the shepherd's grace or have sex with them. So one night, the outside world comes knocking in. I think it's like a police car or something. And the shepherd orders that they all need to leave. And this is kind of where, you know, Sela follows, but she kind of begins to realize that her... She begins to question her upbringing and mm-hmm. kind of her worldview.
Good for her.
This was interesting. It's very understated, but it's not dull. It's kind of dreamlike. It has this very languid pace, and but it's very, very well shot. Like,
I was actually going to say that, even though I said that I only caught most of the audio.
Yeah.
But I was catching glimpses, I was like, oh, that's nice.
It's very beautifully shot. It has like a, not to put on my like movie critic hat, but it uh-huh. has this very like,
well, you are.
Eloquent visual language, like visual storytelling. Like, you don't need dialogue to understand what is happening.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, the cinematographer, I'm sure, you know, wherever it's set, the Pacific Northwest, like the scenery is very gorgeous.
Very
as well,
Twilight.
But yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, just very, I don't even, just has, the compositions are just remarkable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, how.
Very enchanting.
Very enchanting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it centers on Sela. She's played by Raffi Cassidy, who was actually in The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
She.
Oh, that twisted, yeah.
Yeah, she has this very. ethereal look, this stillness to her face. She really just holds your attention whenever she's on camera.
She's like a Lizzie Moss.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And she's young. Mm-hmm. She's not even 20, I don't think. But yeah, it's a very subtle movie. You know, it's about blind faith, you know, putting yourself following this man, this very charismatic, persuasive man who...
A narcissist.
He's a narcissist. He's...
Manipulator.
I mean, he's a shepherd.
Cult
which...
leader.
He herds women. yeah, it's very, it's very,
like Utah or something.
Yeah, it's very transfixing, very moody, very pristine in like its look. I don't know, it is kind of missing something for me to like.
So what exactly was the purpose of it? So the other lamb, so what are they trying to get at with the other lamb? So is
right.
she the other
so,
lamb
well,
from
she,
the herd?
I think she is. So I think she is the other lamb. She is the one that is defying against.
She's breaking free from the herd.
Exactly. She's the one that's defying against everything else.
So it's like breaking Amish in a theatrical
yeah.
performance.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Very, very subtle though. And yeah, she's coming. She's coming of age.
Or the Duggars,
you know,
whatever.
She's transitioning into womanhood
yeah.
and all that. So, yeah, very, very well made. This is definitely like a low budget film, but it's from IFC Midnight. They always crank out really cool.
I mean, IFC is kind of like a big deal. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is
it's up there
obviously
like
an independent
Netflix, yeah.
company. But yeah. So overall, you know, if this is your thing, this will be your kind of thing.
So what do you mean if this is your thing? Like who?
Like if you know what you're in for. Like if you're, you know, if you're maybe you're interested in cults or like maybe you're into like art films. This will definitely be your cup of tea.
Okay.
It's definitely horror adjacent. Like, it's not, you know, this... It's not a musical. It's not a romantic comedy.
Definitely not. It's way different than... Yeah.
Right. It's definitely different than anything else that we've talked about
so far. I feel
like
we're going, like, from light and fun...
Light and
down
frothy,
to, like,
yes.
okay, a little drama in the romance
yes.
department. Then it's like, oh, my God, like, cults and
yeah. well,
these... polygamists.
Wait till what, we get to next.
Lord. Well,
right. Which is supposed to be light. So yeah, overall I would give this a flick. Yeah.
A flick? Okay.
Yeah. And as an audiobook, what do you think?
It's a flop. I don't like the plot. I don't think that
just
I don't
it's
think
uncomfortable
that,
or
well no, I just don't think that certain things I don't know. I think that there's other things that maybe could be created.
It is very, it would be like a cool companion piece to The Handmaid's Tale, kind of.
Well, I was going to say I would rather watch The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
As you were describing it, it's almost like a Twilight meets Handmaid's Tale as far as the setting
mm-hmm.
And the way that it was shot. I I did catch quite a bit.
You did, yeah.
Visually.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. So you gave it a... Well, you go to theartfulcritic.com and yes. take a look at the full review for yes. the grade. But yes. I have a feeling I already know the grade. I think it's a this with something after it. Oh, no.
It's B minus.
Oh, well, okay. It's all right.
All right.
So Coffee and Cream.
Coffee and Cream. Betty Gilpin, though. Coffee, yes.
Betty Gilpin.
Yes. So fourth and uh-huh. last movie is Coffee and Kareem. You can watch it on Netflix or you shouldn't. So this is allegedly a comedy. It's a mismatched buddy cop comedy. Where to start? Okay, so Ed Helms, he's in his dweebish fuddy-duddy mode, which he's always played, I feel like. He plays James Coffey, this recently demoted Detroit police officer. He's been like the punching bag at his precinct, especially by Betty Gilpin, who's a detective. He's been dating a nurse played by Taraji P. Henson, who wants to introduce Coffee to her 12-year-old son. His name is Kareem. He's this like trash-talking gangster kid. So when the girlfriend decides to have James Coffey pick up the son at school, Kareem wants to stop at a friend's house. So Coffey drops him off. It turns out Kareem actually was going to hire a drug kingpin to take out her mom's new boyfriend.
Oh, I did hilarious. See some of this. Yeah.
This is also the same drug kingpin who escaped on James Coffey's watch. So once Kareem witnesses a cop being killed by the drug kingpin, this sends Coffey and Kareem, the name gets funnier every time, Coffey and Kareem, get it? Into this whole plot involving dealers and crooked cops, and it's supposed to be hilarious, and it's not.
It fell flat for you.
It's not. It's actually, it has kind of a it has a mean spirit to it.
Correct.
It has a mean spirit to it, and I'm all for raucous, raunchy, crude humor if it's funny, but this is if you took that 90s comedy, Cop and a Half, maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't, and added a bunch of dick jokes to it, and pedophile jokes, and 12-year-old's first ejaculation jokes, and gay panic jokes, and oh my god, it just strains to be offensive, and it's just not funny.
Oh my god, see, like, what's up with this?
It
like,
bombed why, every
why
time.
Why are these things being created and
oh my god, it's like a Netflix original, it's just, they need to try harder.
Is this one of those where it's like you feel for the cast? Like, I have recently just fallen in love with Betty Gilpin on The Hunt. I had no idea who she was. Yes. Yeah. She's now like a new Lizzie Moss to me. Yes. I just like her look. She's funny, witty, whatever. And I just sometimes feel for the actors. I'm like, oh no, your agent or you.
Yeah.
Saw something. Hey, you want to make some money.
Right, exactly.
But like, how much money did they pay you for this?
Right. So, Betty Gilpin is the best thing in this, but she still doesn't make it worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
She plays like the hard ass detective who's like, she like emasculates him. Like she calls him like a bitch, and like it's again, it goes on with the mean spirit. But she,
it's kind of like her character on The Hunt.
She is hilarious though. Her comic timing is so dead on, and she's she does good. Something with her face. she's completely unhinged in this, and she just has so much energy, and she almost makes it worth watching. But it's a chore to get through, and it's not even a full 90 minutes. It's like, yeah, it's like 88 minutes, and just,
because it was such a shitty, excuse me, story, and they were trying to whip something together just to make some money,
right?
And they couldn't even get to the 90 minute mark.
Yeah, and the kid who plays Kareem, like, he's this young kid, I think he actually is 12, like his character, Terrence Little Garden High is his name. I think he was on Nickelodeon. He's a newcomer. He's like a comedic force. Like he's down for like whatever, you know, the script gives him. But this is just one of those movies that like relies on a younger kid cussing constantly, and that's supposed to be funny in and of itself, and it's just not.
Yeah, I don't really like that.
There's one moment where he's at a strip club with Ed Helms' character, and he's like very politely asking like questions to one of the strippers, like getting to know her and like asking like very polite questions, and that was kind of amusing. But then it just goes back to what it's been this whole time, like where he tells Ed Helms to like act more aggressive and gay, to like talk shit to the bad guys. And so like when Ed Helms does that, he'll be like, oh, I want to make you dinner, like that sort of, it's just, it's lame, it's really lame. Really depressing. But yeah, Betty Gilpin, keep acting. You're hilarious.
Keep doing your thing.
Keep doing your thing, girl.
We're rooting for you. We're here for you.
Yes. But this was just depressing. I felt bad for everyone. And so even though you're at home and on the couch, don't waste your time.
Don't even spend a minute thinking about it anymore.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
Not even worth the thought.
Honestly, Coffee and Kareem, the title, is probably the most clever joke in the entire thing. And when that's the most clever thing in the entire movie,
I mean, I like it from a marketing perspective.
Right.
I'll give it that. That's about it.
It's cute.
Yeah, I like the marketing. Like, okay, like if I watch it and then I get Coffee and Kareem, like maybe I'll think about your movie, but probably not because it sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't waste your time. This is obviously a flop.
Obviously.
Obviously. All right. So those were our four movies. I don't think we have time to talk about a fifth one. We'll save that for next week.
Yeah, we were kind of like jotting some things. Like, guys, this is totally unscripted. Like, I don't like a script at all. Yeah. I like talking points. Yeah, unplugged. So we just have 1 through 4, and that's it. So next week we're gonna talk about, I think, three different movies, just to have some focus.
Three movies, maybe a fourth one, but definitely three.
I'm excited for the series episode.
Yes,
I don't know when that's going to come out, because we need to actually catch up on one.
Right.
Or decide which series we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of good content out there.
Tiger King, obviously. And yes. I'm not just saying that because everybody's talking about it.
That is the water cooler. Oh, God. People can't even talk at the water cooler because nobody's at work.
Nope. Virtually.
Yeah.
Everything, slide into my DMs, we can chat about it. Right. Yeah.
But Tiger King is definitely like the water cooler event. Like, everybody's talking about it.
It's the new Ted Bundy.
Yes.
Like, guys, like, this is what happens. Like, it's the new Ted Bundy. Like, we know.
Although it doesn't have any attractive people in it. Like, Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was attractive.
I will say, though, the last husband wasn't that bad.
No. But we'll get into that.
He was cute.
Yeah.
He was cute. And I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you?
I think that's what.
Anyway. Oh my God. So much fun.
So much fun to talk about.
Yeah. So much fun.
Carol, so yeah.
Excuse my language. Carol fucking killed the husband. Just saying.
She did.
Lock her up. Close that case. Get her.
Listen, you kittens and cats, or whatever she calls
it. You cool cats and kittens out there. Yeah. I don't even know. My Lord. So that's it for today's episode of Flick or Flop, episode 11. Holy cow, episode 12 coming up with 13 very shortly.
Hope you guys enjoyed. Everyone stay healthy, be safe, be productive.
Definitely be productive. I know Jeremy, he's been cranking out some reviews for sure. I have not been whipping him. I have just been making sure that we have a list. Just
I do have the scars for proof.
Yeah, there you go. But you can go to the Artful Critic for that. I've been cooking up all sorts of goodness in my kitchen.
So much
stuff. If you're interested in some cool recipes, low carb, you don't have to be keto, guys. You can make these recipes if you just want to like start cutting out the carbs. Go to alexmaynard.online. That's all for now. We're signing off. Love you lots.
All right. Bye, guys.